presenting Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's Ace of the Airwaves coming in for another grand-time episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. Say, gang, I know you've all heard about the round-the-world flight made by Cliff Evans and George Truman. That flight was most important in popularizing private flying and smaller planes. The Pipers can fly only 105 miles an hour, but these two went around the world, and their feat is sure to go down in aviation history. Evans and Truman have proved that any private flyer with his small ship can go anywhere in the world, as long as he takes it easy and knows what he's doing. Most of the previous globe-circling flights have been made with the idea of setting a record, and in these cases, the planes needed special and expensive equipment. But Evans and Truman took their time. Starting off from the Teterboro, New Jersey airfield last August 9th, they made 49 stops and took 103 days to go around the world. On the fuselages of the planes were the flags of 23 nations they visited. Under each flag was the autograph of a leading person in each country. The two young flyers planned to come into Teterboro as casually as any local pilot coming back from a 50-mile flight. But word got out they were coming in, and an escort of fighter planes was on hand to bring them home in real style. During their long trip, the two flyers had only one bad spot of trouble, and that was over China on a hop to Shanghai. They hit strong headwinds and were forced down in an out-of-the-way area. For a time, airport authorities at Shanghai were worried, but Evans and Truman were able to get enough gas and finally arrived. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back with more news about aviation, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Landing at Cañada Verde, some distance away from Carlos Mendez Ranch, Hop, Tank, and John Temple proceeded to the ranch house on foot in an effort to rescue Gale and recover the Lakeville Belle. Reaching the main gate, they surprised and knocked out the guard, then gliding swiftly through the shadowy darkness, broken only by the flickering glare of lightning foreshadowing an approaching storm, they reached the house and searched through its many rooms for Gale. After 10 minutes of hurried activity, they paused in the upstairs hall.
We've gone over the place from top to bottom. I'm sure she isn't here, boys.
And where's Mendez got her, for Pete's sake?
Maybe in the barn where he put the bell. What do you think, John?
Could be.
Okay, let's go. Easy, Tank, easy.
There ain't nobody here.
It's starting to come down any second now.
So what if we do get wet?
I wasn't thinking of us, Tank. Those men that rode out looking for us, they won't stay out long.
Well, if you work fast, we go out the same way we came in, the front door.
Yeah, but let me check first.
Careful, Hop.
Wow, starting to come down now.
See anybody out there?
No, thought just deserted.
What about the guards at the other gate?
I can't see them. Everything's pretty black. Come on, we'll go out and watch it.
Hey, you're not scared, are you?
George, there's some light. Hey, there's a barn. Just about make it out.
Funny, no lights. We did see Mendez the wind there, didn't we?
Yes, him and his partner. I see a light.
Where?
A little window in the back.
Where?
Funny color.
Yeah, kind of bluish.
The way it gets brighter and it sort of dries down.
Yeah, a settling torch would throw that kind of light.
What would Mendez be doing with a torch?
He could cut the bell apart, get rid of the evidence.
But Jenny's, you're right.
Okay, let's roll.
Wow, you're like a minute shower, babe. Cover your gun, John. Don't let it get wet.
It's in my pocket.
Come on, you guys, move. We're dead pigeons if somebody spots us out here.
I know it.
I'm running as fast as I can. Over to the right a little. At the side door.
Yeah, that's it.
Boy, you soaked the skin already.
I thought you didn't mind getting wet.
Hey, look, boys. I like this one on that upstairs window.
In the barn?
Yeah, see it?
Gosh, maybe Gale's up there.
Watch it. Watch it now.
We're coming up to the door.
Step right against the wall.
I'll open it.
You get behind Hop, John. Cover him just in case.
Right.
Now, be quiet now. Look, go on. Open it.
Get your horses, will you?
Okay.
See anybody?
No, I'm not yet.
Yeah. Mendez.
Uh-huh. Where'd she go?
All right. Is she working on the belly?
Yeah. Something we got.
Why, George, we got guns, ain't we?
Well, wait a minute.
Well, we'll find out where Davis is. And the other fellow.
Only saw him, man.
Oh, yeah, it's mechanic. Come on, show me. Easy does it. Ain't easy. Wait a minute. Let me close the door.
Are you sure this time is right?
He ain't turned around once. Yeah, it's a break for us.
Hey, what's that yellow stuff running out of the bell? Yellow stuff?
Yeah, did you see it? Great Scott.
You're thinking the same thing I am, John.
Thinking what?
Gee, unless I'm way out in left field, that yellow stuff is gold.
Gold?
Ten-ton bell full of gold.
No wonder.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, look at it. The bell is solid. It must be worth millions.
But how? Why?
Who made a bell out of gold? We'll have to get the answers later. Come on now. He's over this way.
You don't see Dale anywhere, do you?
No, the other fellow either. I don't like it.
He must be upstairs where the light is.
There's the ladder. It must lead up to the hayloft.
That's where the light is, I bet. Now, how do we get up there? The ladder's right in Mendez's line of vision.
Oh, come on. Let's stick a gun in this ribs. That'll fix him.
No, we can't. Not till we find Dale and Mendez's park.
But we've got to get up there. She may need our help. We've got to move fast.
Prophetically, John urges Hoff on as if he knew that at that very moment, Otto Vogel, Carlos Mendez's accomplice, was facing Gail Nolan and young Christopher Cross up in the hayloft of the barn. His purpose, death.
They will have no melodramatics, Miss Nolan. It will be short and quick. One bullet. That is all.
You're really going through with this?
Why, of course.
You can't. It's murder.
One death, two, three, what does it matter?
But you can't shoot a girl.
It is quite simple, really, young man. But now it is time.
Does Senor Mendez know?
That I am about to kill you? No, he does not. He wishes to delay. He is a weakling.
He's not a murderer.
Do not make pretty speeches. If I had not killed, we would not have the bell now.
What will he do when he finds out?
What can he do? It will be an accomplished fact. And he will not hear the shot. No, not over the noise of the storm. So, Miss Nolan, at the next thunderclap... You are ready?
Yes. Oh, gosh, no. Fogel.
Yes?
Won't you... I mean, can't you let Chris go? He's only a boy.
He's old enough to know too many things.
But how can he possibly hurt you?
Oh, please, Miss Nolan, don't try to protect me. I know how to take it. Chris.
Enough of this. We will hear the thunder again in a matter of seconds. If you are still, Miss Nolan, it will not hurt. So now...
Raising his ugly black luger, Vogel aims squarely at Gale's head, his finger tightening on the trigger as he waits for the next thunderclap. Gang, seconds count now. You won't want to miss the action-packed climax of today's episode, so stand by. Fellas and girls, 5 days after the Jap attack on Pearl Harbor, the Naval Air Transport Service was founded. It was begun as a wartime measure to speed men and materials to the fleet and naval bases. But today, it is continuing as an essential peacetime aid to the floating and fighting Navy. Under the present setup, the NATS has Atlantic and Pacific wings with connecting coast-to-coast links. For the most part, urgently needed personnel and high-priority freight necessary to follow the fleet are carried by the service. And when it comes to safety, well, the NATS is tops. In the 6 years of its existence, more than 1.75 billion passenger miles have been flown by the four-engine planes without a single passenger fatality. Although the Naval Air Transport Service is, as it sounds, a military organization, it sometimes departs from its duties to give the civilian world a hand. A few months ago, a survey flight to Europe was swiftly converted into a mission of mercy to Cairo to transport vitally needed serum to combat a cholera epidemic. So fast was the operation carried out that NATS aircraft were the first to enter the stricken area after the call for assistance. Last year, a load of monkeys was flown to the United States from the Philippine Islands to be used in important medical experiments. All other methods of transporting the monkeys were unsuccessful, but the Navy flyers came through, the flyers of the NATS. You know, gang, the men in the Naval Air Transport Service are doing a big job, and they'll need flyers and technicians for the future. They look to you, fellas and girls, for that, so get ready now to take your place in the air, and always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Unaware of Gale's and Chris's great danger in the hayloft above them, Pop, Tank, and John Temple try to figure out a way of getting up there without alarming Carlos Mendez, busy cutting apart the Lakeville bell with an acetylene torch. Suddenly, Mendez straightens up, looks around. The boy is shrinking to the shadow.
Think he's hurt? We'll find out in a second. Be quiet.
He's looking around. Stand by with your gun, Jim.
I'm ready.
Vogel! Vogel!
Hey, he's calling somebody. Must be his partner. Short help.
Vogel, where are you?
He looks worried.
Yes, sir, Vogel. What's the matter?
Hey, where's he going? Is it him?
Vogel! If you have to, I will kill you! Vogel!
He's a man.
Who else is up
there? I wonder. Could it be Chris?
Chris?
Of course, remember? He disappeared just before Mendez left Lake.
Yes.
Let's go. He's upstate. You don't get him. Mendez care what happens to Gale and Chris. Search me, Jimmy. There's no time to ask questions. I'll go first.
Hogan, I warned you. Do not be a fool, Mendez. Now the labor of death is on the next. Why are you questioning my orders?
Orders,
orders, orders. Mendez, I am sick of your stupid orders. I will not take them any longer. I am sick of your insolent behavior.
So simple, it won't work, pal.
Drop it, Bogo. You get it between the arms.
Oh, Tank!
Oh,
God!
Drop that gun, I said. Get it, Mark. Move back against the wall, Bogo. You two men, then. You chicken-hearted coward. Now you see what just happened.
That's enough, Bogo. Get up, Chris. You all right?
Oh, gosh, Uncle. We're glad to see you. He was going to shoot us.
Everything's okay now, Chris. Gail.
Hey, she's fainted.
Just try that. If she's okay, she passes out, just like a dream.
Watch Mendez and Bogo, Tank.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't move, you birds.
Mind what?
Call me that again, pal, and I'll play yo-yo with your head.
Pop! Tank!
Yeah?
Listen!
What is it? I don't hear nothing.
Horses! The men are coming back!
The drumming beat of horses' hooves grows louder and louder as Hop, Tank, and John glance at each other, then at Mendez and Bobo, only to see confident smiles spreading across their faces. They have the two leaders, but will it help them? We'll find out tomorrow, gang, so don't forget to listen. Tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Pop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.